You'll be able to unmute yourselves.
Okay.
Lovely to just have a catch up with you. Have a good morning. I leave you in Andrew and Sue's capable hands.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Bye.
Bye. Have a good service.
Thank you.
Well, lovely to see so many people here this morning and hear so many people this morning. Everyone's very, very welcome. So, if you've got an order of service, let us begin. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Father God, we bring before you all our questions, all our doubts, and all our uncertainties, and offer them to you along with our praise, trusting that you hear us and love us. Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. And our prayer of confession. Heavenly Father, you created us to be curious creatures. Yet we forget this when it comes to our faith. We hear the stories of your deeds with complacency and without comment, so often forgetting to try to see in depth, to question. Forgive us for this lack of respect. We renew our commitment to a relationship with you that is not afraid to ask questions, for you delight in the curiosity of your children.
Amen.
Amen. Forgive us, Lord, when we become lukewarm and complacent towards you. You forgive us when we allow the unimportant things of life to distract us from the big questions we should be asking. Praise be to you, God, for waiting, father-like, to hear us and forgive us. Amen.
Our first reading this morning can be found in John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." "How can someone be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our psalm today is Psalm 121, one of my favourites and probably yours. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not hurt you, but harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Glory to the Father,
And
and
the
to the
Son,
Son, and
and
to
to the
the Holy
Holy
Spirit, as
Spirit,
it
as it
was
was
in
in
the
the
beginning,
beginning,
is now, and shall be forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, our second reading this morning can be found in Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks
Thanks
be
be
to
to
God.
God. Perhaps the most famous and well-loved verses in the New Testament are John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the verses at the very end of our gospel reading today. I don't know if you know the music of Sir John Stainer, but he put those verses to music in his wonderful work, The Crucifixion. If you haven't heard it, it's jolly well worth listening to. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. There's a question I'd like us to think about. If God were to say to you, "Why should I give you eternal life?" what would your answer be? Well, we'll come back to that question later on. Let's have a look at our Bible passage. It's set in early in Jesus' ministry. So far, everything he's done has been in Galilee, which is a kind of Israel's remote rural backwater where nothing normally ever happened. However, Jesus caused quite a stir there. And when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem heard about him, they sent people to check him out. Nicodemus might have been sent, or he might have come because he was curious. John tells us two things about Nicodemus. First, he's a Pharisee, which meant he's a very moral, self-righteous person. He's also a member of the Jewish ruling council, so he was a powerful player in Israel at that time. Unlike some Pharisees, Sadducees, and teachers of the law, Nicodemus was being humble in meeting Jesus. So anyway, this influential religious man turns up on Jesus' doorstep saying, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him." And Jesus replies, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Should we presume that John records the entire conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus? I don't think so. The date of John's writing was decades after the fact. As it stands, we have a sort of 1 to 2 minute, almost furtive conversation held in the dark of night. But in reality, Nicodemus and Jesus must have discussed many things during this talk of theirs, which may have lasted for hours and probably was at an inn or a private home. John recorded only what he thought was important for his readers to know. In addition, the suggestion that Jesus saying in verse 10, that you are Israel's teacher and do not understand these things, was not a criticism of Nicodemus. Rather, it was Jesus' way of establishing himself as the teacher, not the student, in this relationship, even though Jesus was much younger than Nicodemus. Although there are hints about being born again in the Jewish scriptures, this was not a common doctrine, certainly not in the exact terminology that Jesus used. The terminology born again was completely new in the sense it appears nowhere in the Hebrew Bible. So Nicodemus' question, "How can a man be born again when he is old?" was entirely appropriate. Jesus was teaching something new to him. The idea that the Holy Spirit is the spiritual mother to us. Nicodemus may have understood the concept of the Hebrew word Shekinah, God's presence, which was coming into Jewish thought around this time, but the idea of rebirth through the Shekinah, or the Holy Spirit, was new, at least as far as the historical record goes. With religious establishment figures, the people everyone expects are already well on the road to heaven, Jesus is effectively saying, "You're not going to heaven unless you're born again." Now, people react in all sorts of ways to that born again phrase. Some think there are two types of Christians, ordinary common or garden Christians, and the born again sort, who mainly live in Africa and America. Others think born again means you're weird. You smile all the time, clap at lively songs in church, and if you're an American, you probably vote for Donald Trump. But in the Bible, born again means none of these things. What Jesus is saying is that getting into heaven is like being born all over again. Let's think for a moment about babies being born. Anyone who watches that marvellous BBC programme Call the Midwife will be familiar with the sight of a baby's birth. If I think about my own birth, I don't remember anything about it, and I contributed nothing to it. No one contributes to our own births, do we? Did we choose our birth date? Was your birth down to your skillful planning or hard work? No, we don't contribute anything to our own birth. So when Jesus says getting into the kingdom of heaven is like being born all over again, he's telling us that we don't contribute anything to it. And that's actually the key that Jesus wants Nicodemus and us to understand about being born again. We don't contribute anything to it. I asked the question earlier, if God were to say to you, "Why should I give you eternal life?" what would your answer be? Well, often people answer that question with a list of things they've done, things like, "I'm a good person," I'm kind. I give to charity. I'm spiritual. I go to church. I take communion. I'm on the parochial church council. I've been baptized. Those are all good things, and they're also exactly the sort of things Nicodemus would have said. And yet Jesus is saying that none of these things can actually get you into heaven. None of them. Any answer you give that talks about what you have done simply doesn't work. You see, just like we didn't contribute anything to our birth, we can't contribute anything to our spiritual rebirth. Now, for some of us, that might be a bit of a shock because, like Nicodemus, we've been misled into believing that it's good works or being spiritual or obeying all God's laws that makes all the difference to God. You think that if we do good enough stuff, that God is obliged to let us into heaven. Well, he isn't. To others of us, it will be a bit of a relief because we know we've no chance of ever doing anything, any good, enough good works or being spiritual enough. But whether it's a shock or a relief, I want to suggest to you that actually it's the most fantastic news of all, because if eternal life isn't earned by good works and isn't earned by being spiritual, then it means anyone, no matter how messed up or lost or hopeless or guilty or ashamed, anyone can be saved. The door is open to anyone, to me, to you. And that's what verse 16 means. It says, "For God so loved the world." It doesn't say, "God so loved nice people." It says, "God so loved the world," that's everyone, "that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever," so not just nice people, "but whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God invites us all to receive eternal life. He's an inclusive God. He loves all his children, and he gives them all a chance to opt in. I was baptized as a baby. I was fortunate to grow up in a Christian family. I attended church for most of my formative years, and I guess that my faith was at that point vicarious and not my own. But the amazing thing is, God wanted to spend time with me. He reached out to me through a Christian friend who explained to me that being a Christian wasn't about keeping rules, it wasn't about going to church. Instead, it was about a relationship with God through his son Jesus. I felt God speaking to me through various Bible passages, and I just knew that he was there and wanted me to join his Christian army. I had no choice but to say sorry to him for ignoring him and living life without him. And that was the moment I was born again. Not by good works, not by church attendance. I was born again by God. And each of us can be too. All we have to do is to ask him. Start by saying sorry for ignoring him and living life without him, and then invite him to come and be your friend and your saviour. And then let him do the heavy lifting of coming into your life and walking through life with you. Jesus answered Nicodemus, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Water is a reference to baptism. And Spirit is about God coming to live with you, helping you, healing you, transforming you, and enabling you to do things you never thought possible in your own strength. That's why he calls it being born again. Because when God gets to work on you, it's a completely new beginning. It's a rebirth. Amen.
So let us pray now. Lord, we have so many questions. Help us to listen for your answers. Lord, as we come to you today, our minds are full of questions. Just like Nicodemus, we want to know how and why. Thank you that you are a God who listens, a God who invites us to ask, a God who wants us to relate to you. So here we are with our questions, some of which we name in our hearts right now. Lord, we have so many questions.
Help
Help
us
us
to
to
listen
listen
for
for your
your
answers.
answers.
Lord, today our first questions must be why? Why? We come with heavy hearts asking why there are wars in Ukraine and Gaza and so many parts of Africa. We want to know why the leaders of so many nations want to wield power instead of bowing down to you. We ask why we have allowed ourselves to spoil your world with pollution and mismanagement of resources, so that many millions starve while others have more than enough. Lord, these are heartfelt questions that we can't answer. But you are the God who sees. You are the God who will one day bring justice. You are the Lord to whom one day every knee will bow. And in the meantime, Lord, show us how to be peacemakers. Show us how to work for justice. Help us to be the answer to our prayers. Lord, we have so many questions. Help
Help us
us
to
to
listen
listen
for
for your
your
answers.
answers.
Lord, we pray for our local community as we ask, what? Help us to see what you are doing and to follow you. We ask, what are you doing in our schools? We pray for pupils and teachers, for all who love you, who are trying to show their friends and colleagues who you are. Thank you for a new openness to spirituality and for all those schools that have prayer spaces, allowing young people to connect with you. We pray for local businesses and shops, our health facilities and community centres. We ask you to show us what we can do as individuals or as a congregation to serve those who work around us each day. Lord, we have so many questions.
Help
Help
us
us
to
to
listen
listen for
for your
your answers.
answers.
Lord, we think of our neighbourhood and ask who? Who needs to know the touch of your love this week? We think particularly of those we know who are in pain. And especially this morning, we pray for those who we know are sick. Steph, Jacques, Mary, and Derek, Anne, Brenda, Roy, Margaret T, Elizabeth, Joy, Tony, Herbert, Brian, Alison, Margaret R, Nigel, Audrey, and Sharon. And we pray for the staff and pupils of Rackhamford School and Tiverton High School. And we pray for all who work at or who are in Tiverton Hospital. Lord, wrap your loving arms around those who are sad today. We pray, give peace to those who are fearful or troubled or awaiting test results or a diagnosis. Help those who struggle in any way, maybe at school, or because they are not as young as they once were. And Lord, we also rejoice with those who are happy today, because of a birth or good news, an exam passed, a successful interview, a birthday. Even if we are not feeling happy, give us the grace to rejoice with those who are. Lord, we have so many questions.
Help us to listen for your answers.
And finally, Lord, we think about where. Where are you sending us this week? We picture the places that we expect to be going to, work or school, the surgery, shops or friends' houses. Go before us, Lord, and prepare the way so that our words will be your words and our actions your actions. And Lord, some of us may be going to places we don't expect this week. Give us the courage to go to places that may be scary or unusual or new. Help us to know that you are with us every step of the way, every day. Lord, we have so many questions.
Help us to listen for your answers.
Lord, so often we bombard you with questions and demand answers. Help us this week to be quicker to listen than to speak. Help us to trust you in the storms and the calm. Help us to watch what you do and follow the courage and joy. And give us the grace to see when we can be the answers to our prayers. Thank you for being the God who listens to our prayers.
Amen. The Collect for the Second Sunday of Lent. Almighty God, by the prayer and discipline of Lent, may we enter into the mystery of Christ's sufferings, and by following in his way, come to share in his glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God of our journey and God of our questions, thank you for being with us each step of our journey. And that you hear each question we ask, both those we ask aloud and those we ask silently in our hearts. Be with us as we journey on and keep asking questions.
Amen.
Amen. The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. And the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for, today and always. Amen.
You could unmute yourself if you want to.
Yes.
Well, wow, that was very
thank you so much.
You both, wonderful. Thank you.
Lovely to have
thank you
all together, our little church family.
Very much so. It's so important.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes, it's very thoughtful. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Have a good week, everybody.
Bye.
Bye then. Bye.
Bye, Helen. Have a
bye.
Lovely
time. Lots of love.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Take care. God bless.
And you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.